ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी। श्रीमद् भागवतम 10th कैंटो चैप्टर 66 टेक्स्ट 39 ऑनवर्ड्स। टेक्स्ट 39 डजंट हैव अ परपोर्ट, देयरफॉर वी आर गोइंग ऑन टू टेक्स्ट 40 दैट हैज अ परपोर्ट एंड देन द लास्ट थ्री वर्सेस ऑफ दिस चैप्टर 41, 42 एंड 43 also don't have any purport, and that's how the chapter ends. So I was told to just go through the end of the chapter, so that's what I'm going to do. Like, I'll read verse 39, then together we'll recite verse 40, and then again I will read the purport and then go to the end of the chapter, and that's how I'll conduct the class today. Text 39. तत्सूर्यकोटि प्रतिमं सुदर्शनं जाज्जल्यमानं प्रलयानलप्रभं स्वतेजसाखं ककुटोभथ रोदसी चक्रं मुकुन्दास्त्रं अथाग्निमार्दयत्। ट्रांसलेशन: दैट सुदर्शन, द डिस्क वेपन ऑफ लॉर्ड मुकुंद, ब्लेज्ड फोर्थ लाइक मिलियंस ऑफ सन्स. His effulgence blazed like the fire of universal annihilation, and with his heat he painted the sky and the directions, heaven and earth, and also the fiery demon. Text 40. Kritta nalaha pratihataha sa रथांग पानेर अस्त्रौजसा सा नृप भग्नमुखा निवृत्तः वाराणसीं परिसमेत्य सुदक्षिणं तं सत्वेग जनम समदहत सकृतो अभिचारः। कृत्यानल प्रतिहत सरथांग पानेर अस्त्रौजसा सा नृप भग्न मुख निवृत्त। वाराणसीं परिसमेत्त सुदक्षिणं तम् सर्तिग् जनं समदहत् सकृतोऽभिचारः। कृत्वा नलः प्रतिहत सरथाङ्गपानेन अस्त्रौ जसा सा नृप भग्न मुखो निवृत्त्य। वाराणसीं परिसमेत्य सुदक्षिणं तं स Satig Janang Samadahat Sakrito Vichara. Kritva Nala Pratihata Sarathanga Pane. Astro Jasa Sanripo Bhagna Mukho Nibritya. Varanasim Parisamitya Sudakshinantam. Sartig Janang Samadahat Sakrito Vicharah. Mataji's Nala Pratihata Saratanga Pane. Agna Jasasanito Bhakna Mukhani. Kanasing Parisamitya Sudakshinankam. Kritva, produced by mystic power. Analaha, the fire. Pratihataha, frustrated. Saha, he. Ratha Angapane, of Lord Krishna who holds the Sudarshan disc in his hand. Astra, of the weapon. Ojasa, by the power. Sa, he. Nripa, O king. Bhagna Mukha, turning away. Nivritya, having desisted. Varanasim, the city of Varanasi. Parisamitya, approaching on all sides. Sudakshinam, Sudakshin. Tam, him. Sa, together with. Ritvik Janam, his priests. Samadahat, burned to death. Swa, by himself. Sudakshina, Kritaha, created. abhicharah, meant for doing violence. Translation: frustrated by the power of Lord Krishna's weapon, O king, the fiery creature produced by black magic turned his face away and retreated. Created for violence, the demon then returned to Varanasi, where he surrounded the city and then burned Sudakshina and his priests to death, even though Sudakshina was his creator. Please repeat after me. Frustrated by the power of Lord Krishna's weapon, O King, the fiery creature produced by black magic turned his face away and retreated. Created for violence, the demon then returned to Varanasi, where he surrounded the city and then burned Sudakshina and his priests to death, even though Sudakshina was his creator. Purport. These purports, as you know, are written by Prabhupada's very qualified and loyal disciples, headed by one of our God brothers. So he is writing. Srila Prabhupada comments as follows: having failed to set fire to Dwarka, the fiery demon went back to Varanasi, the kingdom of Kashi Raj. As a result of his return, all the priests who had helped instruct the black art of mantras, along with their employer Sudakshina, were burned into ashes by the glaring effulgence of the fiery demon. According to the methods of black art mantras instructed in the Tantra, if the mantra fails to kill the enemy, then because it must kill someone, it kills the original creator. Sudakshina was the originator, and the priests assisted him. Therefore, all of them were burned to ashes. This is the way of the demons. The demons create something to kill God, but by the same weapon, the demons themselves are killed. So, I'll just go through the translation of the next three verses. Text 41. Lord Vishnu's discs also entered Varanasi in pursuit of the fiery demon and proceeded to burn the city to the ground, including all its assembly halls and residential palaces with raised porches. Its numerous marketplaces, gateways, watchtowers, warehouses and treasuries, and all the buildings housing elephants, horses, chariots and grains. Text 42. After burning down the entire city of Varanasi, Lord Vishnu's Sudarshan Chakra returned to the side of Krishna, whose actions are effortless. Text 43. Any mortal who recounts this historic pastimes of Lord Uttama Shlokas, or who simply hears it attentively, will become freed from all sins. Thus end the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada to the 10th canto, 66th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Pondraka, the False Vasudev. Yeah, so it was actually Gopi Paranadhana Prabhu, whose name I couldn't immediately remember, so who was heading this very noble mission of continuing the translation and giving the commentary to the rest of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada translated up to the 14th chapter of the 10th canto, and then rest of the 10th canto and 11th canto and 12th canto has been completed by a team of devotees headed by Gopi Paramadhana Prabhu, one of our very qualified god brothers. So since it is the end of the chapter, I will go to the summary of the chapter. I'll just read the summary of the chapter and then we'll briefly discuss. This chapter 66 of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is entitled as Pondraka, the false Vasudev, imitation Vasudev, imitation Krishna. And those days there was only one or two Pondrakas and Shishupals, but nowadays there are so many such Pondrakas who claim that they are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And here we can see what actually happens to such individuals, those who try to compete with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This chapter relates how Lord Krishna went to Kashi, present-day Benares, and killed Pondraka and Kasi Raj, and how the Lord Sudarshan Disk defeated a demon, incinerated the city of Kashi, and killed Sudakshina. While Lord Baladev was visiting Braja, King Pondraka and of Karusha, encouraged by fools, announced that he was the real Vasudeva. That means Krishna, real Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they were trying to present that Krishna is the fake Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the real Supreme Personality of God. And nowadays we see this phenomena is very common. Some fools, they prop up somebody saying that, oh, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And a greater fool, he accepts their worship and think that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we'll see what is the result of such false and vain claim. Thus he challenged, encouraged by fools, announced that he was a real Vasudev. Thus he challenged Lord Krishna with the following messages. Quote, since I alone am true personality of Godhead, you should give up your false claim to this position as well as my divine symbols and take shelter of me. If you do not, then prepare for battle. Unquote. When Ugrasen and the members of his royal assembly heard Pondraka's foolish boast, they all laughed heartily. Sri Krishna then told Pondraka's messengers to convey a message to his master. O fool, I will force you to give up the so-called Sudarshan disk and the other divine symbols of mine you have dared to assume. And when you lie down on the battlefield, you will become the shelter of dogs. Unquote. Lord Krishna then went to Kashi. Pondraka, seeing the Lord preparing for battle, quickly came out of the city to confront him with his army. His friend Kashiraj followed him, leading the rear guard. Just as the fire of universal devastation destroys every living being in all directions, so Lord Krishna annihilated the armies of Pondraka and Kashiraj. Then after chastising Pondraka, the Lord beheaded both him and Kashiraj with his Sudarshan disk. Thereafter, he returned to Dwarka. Because Pondraka has constantly meditated on the Supreme Lord, even dressing like him, he gained liberation. So this is also another very important thing, that even if one remembers the Supreme Personality of Godhead as an enemy, Bhairibhav. Even that an inimical meditation on the Supreme Personality of Godhead has its positive benefit. One becomes liberated. But unfortunately, he doesn't get the positive liberation. There are two types of liberations, positive liberation and negative liberation. There are four positive liberations and one negative liberation. The negative liberation is sajujya, or merging into the bodily effulgence of the Lord. And four positive are sarupya, samipya, salakya, and shashti. Sarupya, having the same form as the Lord. After liberation in Vaikuntha, one gets the same form as the Lord. Samipya gets an opportunity to stay close to the Lord. And samipya, salokya, to be able to stay in the same planet as the Lord. And shashti, having the same opulence as the Lord. So these are the four types of positive liberations. Demons get liberated, but they get the negative liberation of merging in the bodily effulgence or Brahma Sajujya, Brahma Jyoti. But the interesting thing is that in Srimad Bhagavatam it has been mentioned that a devotee, even if he is offered these four positive liberations, doesn't want to accept it if it doesn't allow the service to the Lord. Diyamanang nagrinhanti bina matsevanang jana. My devotee is even offered these four types of liberations, sarupya, samipya, salukya, and shashti, doesn't want to accept it. Because they have relished, they have got the taste of divine devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, Lord Krishna then went to Kashi, Pondraka, and seeing the Lord. When Krishna beheaded Kashiraj, the king's head flew into his city. And when his queen, sons, and other relatives saw it, they all began to lament. At that time, a son of Kashiraj, named Sudakshina, wanted to avenge his father's death, began worshipping Lord Shiva with the intention of destroying his father's killer. Gratified by Sudakshina's worship, Lord Shiva offered him a choice of benedictions. And Sudakshina asked for a means to kill the one who had slain his father. Lord Shiva advised him to worship the Dakshinangi fire with black magic rituals. This Sudakshina did, with the result that a fearsome demon with a body of flame appeared from the pit of sacrificial fire. The demon rose up carrying a fiery trident and at once set off for Dwarka. The residents of Lord Krishna's capital became terrified as the demon approached the city. But Lord Krishna assured them of protection and dispatched his Sudarshan Chakra to oppose the magic creation of Lord Shiva. The Sudarshana overpowered the demon, who then returned to Varanasi and burned Sudakshina to ashes together with his priss. The Sudarshan disc, following the demon, entered Varanasi and burned the entire city to the ground. Then the Lord's disc returned to his side in Dwarka. Om Agyana Timiranthasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chukshurun Militangena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishthang स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदामहं ददाति स पदान्तिकम् श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवाशदि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। कृष्णस पास टाइम्स आर लाइक अ ड्रामा ऑन अ स्टेज, दैट इज द मीनिंग ऑफ पास टाइम्स, प्ले एज इफ प्लेइंग अ ड्रामा along with the other actors and actresses. And a drama has two purposes. A good drama has two objectives. One is to entertain. Drama is entertaining. And it teaches an important lesson. Similarly, Krishna's pastimes, in one hand, entertains his devotees. Devotees become so enlivened just to hear Krishna's pastimes, what to speak of, seeing Krishna's pastimes. Just by hearing, they derive an inconceivable joy. And it teaches a very important lesson. And the lesson is surrender to Krishna and never go against him. That is the important lesson. Through all his pastimes, what we are seeing, in a drama you have a hero and a villain. And in a good drama, what happens? The hero wins and the villain is defeated. So the Krishna, the supreme hero, Nayaka, he always wins. As we know, Jatra Jogeshwara Krishna, Jatra Partha Dhanurdhara. Krishna is always surrounded by his devotees. So wherever there is Krishna with his devotees, victory is bound to be there. No matter how inconceivable or how impossible it may appear. Like we have seen with Jarasandha. Jarasandha attacked Dwarka, attacked Mathura 17 times. And he came with 26 Akshohini soldiers. Mind you, the battle of Kurukshetra was fought with 18 Akshohini, 11 on Kaurava side and 7 on Pandava side. Whereas Jarasandha came with 26 Akshohini soldiers. And Krishna, just him and Balaram, he didn't even take the soldiers. Actually, his army was not there at all. After Kamsa was killed, his army practically disappeared. So Krishna, in Mathura at that time, there was hardly any army left. And Krishna didn't even want to take whatever was left. So he went out with Balaram. And just two of them wiped out 26 Akshohini soldiers. Not only once, 17 times he wiped them out. Now in that respect, a point comes out. Why each time Krishna actually annihilated all his entire army but let Jarasandha go? The question arises, why didn't Krishna get rid of Jarasandha? Why did he allow him to survive and create this problem for him? The answer to that is that actually Krishna came to annihilate the demons. Vinashayacha Dushkritam. And Jarasandha was Krishna's recruiting agent. So So he would collect all the demons and bring them to Krishna, and Krishna would wipe them out. So he did that 17 times, and when on the 18th time Jarasandha came, as you know, Krishna left the battlefield. And he went to, as if Krishna was running away out of fear. And that is how the fools think. They are so proud, although being defeated 17 times, but now he is thinking that, well, this time Krishna is afraid of me. And then Krishna climbed up to the Sudakshin mountain with Balaram. And Jarasandha thought that he ran away out of fear, because this time he actually attacked Krishna jointly with Kalajavana. Jointly, Kalajavana attacked from one side and Jarasandha attacked from another side. Krishna wiped out Kalajavana and his army, and then Jarasandha thought that Krishna ran away out of fear, so he set the whole mountain into fire, thinking that he'll now burn Krishna. But Krishna jumped onto the ocean, went to Dwarka. He already dispatched everybody to Dwarka beforehand. Mathura was empty, and then Krishna came to Dwarka, and that's how Dwarka was set up as Krishna's capital. Not Krishna's capital, Krishna didn't become a king, Ugrasen's capital. So here Pondraka is another such character, a demon, an antagonist, villain. And we are seeing that these villains, they become so proud of their little material power and possession, and becoming intoxicated by their power, they try to challenge the Supreme Personality of God. But what is the ultimate outcome? Killed. Time and time again we are seeing that all the demons are so proud. Although they are seeing Krishna is killing them one after another, still they think that they will be able to defeat Krishna. That was also the case. Another wonderful case in that respect is when Keshi went. Keshi is a good friend of Kamsa. And he saw Kamsa in a miserable state. He was looking emaciated, there was rings around his eyes, and his hair is kind of disheveled. So Keshi asked, "Hey Kamsa, what's the matter with you? Why are you looking so depressed?" Then Kamsa said, "Look, this Krishna is wiping out, killing one after another demons. I suspect that he came to kill me, therefore I am trying to kill him. But I can't. One after another I am sending all these invincible demons whom the demigods also cannot defeat. But this little boy is annihilating them with ease." Then Keshi said, "Okay, don't worry Kamsa, I'll go and kill him." Kamsa said, "Look, all these demons, Putana, Trinavarta, Agha, Baka, they all have been killed." Then Keshi's response was, "Don't worry Kamsa, they all have been defeated, but you don't know who Keshi is. Keshi is going to take care of your enemy." And that's how Keshi actually went. And what did Krishna do? He assumed such a terrible form that the whole earth was shaking with its the stepping of his hooves. Assuming a huge, gigantic form. And all the cowherd boys became extremely worried, extremely afraid. They approached Krishna. "Krishna, Krishna, what to do? Look at this demon, he's coming to kill us." And Krishna said, "Don't worry, you just stand behind me." And he took his chadar, tightened around his waist as a belt, and Krishna just stood there. And Keshi just wanted to swallow him up. Krishna just stretched his left hand. It went into Keshi's mouth. And that hand of Krishna assumed such a huge form that Keshi's throat was not choked. And he started to generate such heat that Keshi couldn't stay in his body anymore. His soul left. His throat was choked, his upper part of the body was choked. So the only way Keshi's soul could leave his body is from his behind, along with his stool. Passing stool, Keshi left his body. So this is how Krishna takes care of his enemies. So what lesson do we learn? Any intelligent person will learn a very wonderful lesson. Don't ever go against Krishna. Just surrender to Krishna. That's the safest course of action. Just surrender to Krishna and never ever oppose him. And what is the result of that surrender to Krishna? Aham tvam sarva papibhyo moksha ishami ma sucha. I'll deliver you from all your sinful reactions. Don't worry. All you have to do is just surrender unto me. Just surrender unto me. Mam ekam sharanam braja. And surrender is never difficult. Surrender is easy. Especially to a great personality. Therefore it is important to recognize how great Krishna is. And that is one important lesson, important thing that we must learn. That Krishna is the greatest. And who are we? We are most insignificant. So when we recognize how insignificant we are and how great Krishna is, then surrender becomes a natural consequence. So that's why the intelligent class of people, they'll surrender. But the unfortunate ones will fail to do that. And when they fail to do that, what actually happens? When they fail to do that, they invite their misfortune. And another reason for their misfortune is that although information about Krishna is so beautifully presented in Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, they just don't want to take advantage of these two scriptures. If one submissively reads Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, he will naturally feel like surrendering to Krishna. The unfortunate thing is that they don't want to read these books. And they don't want to listen to the good advice of their real well-wishers, the devotees. Devotees are going out distributing this knowledge to all the people around the world. Some fortunate ones are accepting, but unfortunately many do not. They don't have the time. And that is their misfortune. But anyway, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent Srila Prabhupada to create the good fortune throughout the world. And through his books, through his Bhaktivedanta purport, Srila Prabhupada is distributing this knowledge throughout the world. And thousands, millions of people are benefiting from that. That is the wonderful arrangement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In every town and village all over the world, this Krishna consciousness movement will spread. And people will benefit inconceivably from this wonderful arrangement of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki, all glories to His divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj ki. Gaur Premanande Hari. Maharaj, some comments? That's a very short one. Does anybody have any question or comment? Yes, Hare Krishna. How are you?
Hare Krishna. We read in that concise, the summary of the chapter, that Lord Shiva advised him to perform a yajna with black magic. So I was a little puzzled how Lord Shiva can advise like this. Because he knew who killed his father, Sudarshan's father. So he knew Sudarshan is asking to kill whom. But still Lord Shiva advised Dakshinagni, yajna and black magic.
Well, there are two ways of looking at it. As I said, drama, right? If in drama everything happened according to our understanding, then there won't be any excitement. So there is some room for some such excitement. And later on we will also see that Lord Shiva, the other aspect is, Lord Shiva is praying to Krishna. Please don't give me this Ishwar Bhav. That I am the controller. I am the supreme. So even Lord Shiva gets bewildered like that at times due to Krishna's yogamaya. And he stands up against Krishna in a battle, fights with him. Just like, there were so many times Lord Shiva actually opposed Krishna and got defeated. Still he didn't come to his senses. Still he makes a mistake. And the thing is that he is Bhakta Vatsal also. He is very much indebted to his devotees. And those who worship him, he actually tries to favor them. Like Vanasura. When Vanasura was facing the difficulty fighting with Krishna and Balaram, he took shelter of Lord Shiva and Lord Shiva came to his rescue. And then he was defeated. Then he came back to his senses. So here also. So the point is that sometimes even Lord Shiva becomes bewildered about Krishna's identity and opposes him. And eventually he comes back to his senses. Yes, Raghunath Prabhu.
Maharaj, you said that people who oppose Krishna, they invite misfortune. But apparently, devotees also attract a lot of misfortune. Apparently, whatever. For instance, when the Jew property was almost getting out of the hands of Srila Prabhupada, he was in distress.
Yeah.
He was in distress. At that time, it doesn't feel like it is Prabhu's Leela. It doesn't appear. That distress is real at that moment.
Yeah.
So how does one understand this from a Krishna consciousness?
Yeah, that's not misfortune. These kind of happenings are actually prelude to good fortune. Like difficulties appear and then Krishna saves one from that difficulty. An example can be considered in this respect. Just like the father sometimes takes the child and throws him up in the air. The child gets into anxiety. But then the father catches him midair. Like apparently it seems that the child is in danger. But the father catches. And then both the child and the father starts laughing. So similarly, Krishna apparently puts his devotees into some difficulties. And then he saves him from the difficulty. Just to show that how he protects his devotees. If this didn't happen, then one could not actually understand how Krishna saves his devotees. Like so many times devotees are put into difficulties. Like look at the Pandavas. What kind of difficulties and distresses they were put into. But each time Krishna came to their rescue. There were apparent difficulties. Like you can say apparent misfortune. But eventually we see how wonderfully they received Krishna's mercy and benediction. Like for example, Bhima was poisoned. I mean, he is dead with the poison. But his body was thrown in the river with his hands and feet tied. And he goes into the Nagaloka, Pataloka, and the snakes start to bite him. Now see, he was given the snake poison, Kalkut. And what is the antidote for poison? Snake bite. Right? The snake bite acted as the antidote. And that effect of the poison was countered. And not only that, then he was offered 7 pots of nectar. He drank this nectar given by Vasuki that the snakes had, and he acquired the strength of 10,000 mad elephants just as a little boy. So, you know, that's what I was saying, they're actually, apparent misfortunes are prelude to the real good fortune. If that didn't happen, then that wouldn't have happened. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. So I'll just end with a little kirtan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.